Greetings, friends, in Jesus' name. We are going on in our Bible reading notes in the Gospel of Mark, and we're coming to look today at verses 14 to 21. Verses 14 to 21. Let's ask God's help, and then we'll come and look at this passage. Heavenly Father, please teach us from your word. Please open our eyes and open our ears and make us hungry in our hearts and souls to know your word, to know you better, through the Bible, the only true and reliable word from God in this world. And then help us that we may so love the Bible and love you that we would live in faith, humbly accepting the truth, and having our lives changed and shaped into people that can be more useful to you and reflect you more and more in our world. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. We come in verse 14 to the disciples who are just gone through the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. They'd seen this miracle. It was the second time Jesus had multiplied food. And I guess one of the reasons he did it twice was that the first time they didn't get the point, and in fact they don't get the point the second time. That really does remind us that we can be very slow to understand things. Very slow. And it says here in verse 14, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Okay. So they've been busy. That's fine. Didn't see it. They didn't think about this. And verse 15, and he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven. Leaven is yeast. Yeast you put into dough to make bread, cake, and the yeast causes it to rise. And Jesus used the idea, they were talking about bread, and he used the idea of yeast. And how did the disciples go? Well, verse 16, and they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. So his comment by mentioning leaven or yeast, the rising agent in the bread, causes them to talk about bread. But Jesus said, watch out for the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, and the yeast or the leaven of Herod, meaning their attitudes, the Pharisees that were full of themselves and hard-hearted and only holy on the outside, but on the inside were full of corruption and rejected Jesus, and Herod, who had sought to have him killed when he was born, and the subsequent Herods, who were a vicious bunch. He's saying, watch out for their attitudes. Herod was all about protecting himself as being the main man. And Jesus, verse 17, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? And the answer to that is, yes, they were. So it's very interesting, because what you've got is sincere Christians who don't understand everything yet about Jesus. That's true. But they are sincere. They're genuine. They're following him. But what's happened is they are caught up in the feeding and the helping and the being with Jesus, but they are not thinking about the meaning of what has happened. So when he mentions yeast, they think bread. and they miss his point. So he says, do you not perceive or understand? You know, that's like somebody coming out of church and saying, oh, that was a lovely sermon, thank you. I want to ask, what was lovely about it? What did you like? What didn't you like? How are you applying that message to your own life? That's what I want to ask. Hey, Pastor, it's good to see you. Well, I'm glad to see you too. Tell me, are you glad to see the Bible? Are you thinking, did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray for yourself and for the others hearing the word? Are you responding to that message now? How are you applying the message of your word to your life? See? Now, they don't see it at all. So it's possible for genuine Christians to miss the point. I can guarantee you that half the people in church miss the point. Maybe not half, but a significant number. So he says to them, and you know, he's being very pointed here. This would have been embarrassing. They should have been embarrassed by it. Verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? That's like a mother talking to a five-year-old. Where are your ears? You're not using them. And he's not talking literally eyes and ears, but spiritual understanding. So when you read the Bible, when you and I read the Bible, are we reading it to hear what God says, to think about what it meant to the first people that it was written to? Are we seeking to learn what we can according to the time we have in life that's available, and seeking to grow our Bible knowledge so that it changes the way we think about God, think about life, think about ourselves, think about other people, think about how we can serve God, honor God, glorify Him? Is it changing us? Is that our intention? Are we reading with a goal to learn about God and His will and be changed by it so that the Word of God transforms us? That's actually what Paul says in Romans 12, the first couple of verses. I'm not going to read it. You can read it in your own time. And end of verse 18, and do you not remember? So now he goes over the points. When I broke, verse 19, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. So it's like, not like they weren't paying attention. They knew the number. They'd remembered that. But they'd missed the point. It's like watching a football game. And your friend says to you, watch the football yesterday. And you say, yes. And he says, who won? You say, oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Gee, that's a bit odd. So, verse 20, and the seven for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, seven. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Now, you remember, I think we spoke about this earlier, is that Jesus doesn't say to them, guys, I'm going to do a miracle. I want you to think about it. And I want you to get hold of the spiritual lesson. They don't. They miss the point completely. Now, there are two things here. The one is the amazing patience of Jesus. If they hadn't understood the first one, he very kindly does another one and leaves it and waits to see. And now he brings the point home. So he doesn't. He's very patient. The other thing is how slow and sluggish they were to understand and believe. But nevertheless, the point, he makes the point because he wants them to understand. What does he want them to understand? What Mark tells us in chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He does in the wilderness what God did. feeding the people miraculously. Slightly different method, but the same point. Jesus is showing the power of God. He has the authority. He is the Son of God. You and I must then come and say, Lord, I am not sufficient, but you have the power. Power lies with you. That's where it is. Power lies with you. You are almighty. I am weak. Weak and frail. But I will seek to serve you and rely on you to lead and strengthen me. The same is true of your pastor. Or your Bible study leader, your Bible class leader. We are all weak and frail. We need to pray that our leaders and teachers will recognize that the power is not in them, but of God. It is through him that God is glorified. And that he can take frail creatures like these guys who were so slow and use them. He can use them and work with them and bring glory to his name, which is what he did. So there's encouragement here, but Jesus does put them on the spot. He does. This would have been embarrassing, but he does use them. And he uses them greatly. And that is so encouraging. Okay. Now, how do you know if you've learned the lesson? Well, the simple answer is, these disciples had partial sight. They knew Jesus was great. They were following him and serving him, but they didn't have the full picture. They had part sight. The test of whether you and I truly see who Jesus is seen in our obedience and commitment to him and his teaching. And now there's a little example that we're going to pick up in our next session. So I'm going to stop now. I want you to think about, are you looking to get the message, to learn the message when you read the Bible, when you hear a sermon, Bible study? Are you looking not just to have a good time in fellowship and discussion and worship, but to hear the word of God and to be changed by it for the glory of God? There it is. It's said of Ezekiel the prophet, the Lord says to him, Son of man, you are like one who plays a love song. The people flock to hear you, but they don't do what you say. So they love going to you. It's a big event. Wow. Off to church. But they're not changed by the word of God. What a tragedy it would be if that was true of us or our churches. We need to pray that we and others will be people who are impacted powerfully by the word. Changed for the glory of God. Let's think about that, pray about that, and we'll come back. Right, we are coming to a little incident that is done, and it's a healing. And it's Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. And we want to ask the question, do we have full sight, part sight, or are we blind? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and minds and teach us so that we may truly see you with the eyes of faith, that we will see and believe and receive your word into our lives, and be shaped and molded by it for your glory. And we pray this because we live in a day that is hardening against you more and more. Please be our teacher. Please teach us from your true word, the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Mark, guided by the Holy Spirit, puts chapter 8 together, and the last two segments, verse of chapter 7, verse 24 to 30 are a miracle, and 31 to 37 is a miracle, and chapter 8, verse 1 to 10 is a miracle. So he puts three miracles together, and then he shows the negative attitude. The Pharisees missed the point because their hearts were hardened. But then, in verse 14 to 21, the disciples also missed the point of the miracle. Not because they were hardened, it's just they weren't thinking. They hadn't got their game together. They hadn't got their act together. They hadn't said to themselves, right now, well, we must think about what Jesus is doing. We must think about what Old Testament scripture teaches us about this. We must look at our lives. What is the lesson? And if they had missed it, they should have gone and said, Lord, please teach us. Like when he did the parable of the sower, they came and asked him, Mark chapter 4, to teach them, to explain it to them. And he did. And so they learned. So Mark then tells this little incident, and he puts it here, and it's fascinating. Verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked him, do you see anything? Now, this putting the spit on his eyes, I take it he put the spit in his hands and rubbed it on his eyes, but even if he did it straight off, it would be a thing that was known then, because if the blind man didn't know what he was doing, he would have been shocked, but there's no shock. So the blind man understood whether Jesus said, I'm going to do this. Whether there was something on his eyes is a good question. That's not the point. The point is, Jesus came. They asked him to touch him. And Jesus put spit on his eyes and laid hands on him and asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up, verse 24, and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. So he had touched his eyes, probably put the spit on his fingers and then rubbed it. And he opened his eyes and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. You know, this is like a parable. On the ice, on the seeing, the sight of the disciples. So they were seeing something special about Jesus and were following him, but they didn't see the full story. Jesus comes to this man. It's the only place where he does the healing in two parts. There's a partial healing, so he starts to see something, which is a bit like the disciples. And then he heals him, and he's fully healed. Then he sees everything. And he sent him home, saying, do not even enter the village, because of the wrong idea about the Messiah, and they would have come more again for healing and not for the word that could save their souls. Now I want to ask you and me, do we see Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Son of Man from Daniel, that he is the one through whom salvation forgiveness of sin comes. We are made right with God through faith in him. Do we see that? And the evidence is that you put your faith, you've repented of your sins, and you've put your faith in Jesus, and you are now truly following him heart and soul. That's the evidence. And what happens is that that is now played out and made very pointed. Verse 27 to 30. And Jesus went with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples. So he asked the question, and Jesus wants to know from you today and me, who do people say I am? And they told him, oh, John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others, one of the prophets. And then he presses the question home. But who do you say I am? If you're listening to this, you must in your life, I urge you with all my heart and soul, you must come to the place where you are receiving the Bible's teaching. You are believing it and you are following Jesus. That's the goal. That's where everything starts. The disciples, we see, are on the way, but they will only see fully after the resurrection. At the moment, they are like many people in church who Jesus is special, and the answers to that will be a range of answers. Some people will say very special. Some people will have confusion. But there will be some who are able to answer like Peter. You are the Christ. That's the Messiah. The one who God promised through the scriptures of the Old Testament that he would send, who would come and deliver his people, save them. He would send the Savior. That is Jesus. And for 8 chapters, Mark has been revealing the picture of who Jesus is. Right. Now Jesus says, you are at a point now where you can make up your minds. Who am I? And they say, you are the promised one of the Old Testament scriptures. Is that your view? Do you see Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one who came in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament and more? And that he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of Man. He is the Judge and the Savior. And if you see that, have you come to repent and believe and to follow him? That is the question. He charged them, verse 30, not to tell anyone because people had such a confused view about who Jesus was, that they were completely looking for the wrong person. And even in Acts chapter 1, the disciples still think he's going to bring back the kingdom and conquer the Romans and throw them out and make Israel the top nation. So they say to him in Acts chapter 1, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So they were still confused. And he just told them, never mind about that. You focus. The Spirit's coming. You must be my witnesses. Because that's the evidence, isn't it? That we have a true view of Jesus is that we are his witnesses. We serve him. We obey the Father like Jesus did. We do God's will. That's what it means to follow him. Well, may God write this truth upon our hearts. And may God give us true sight. Can I say that, you know, one of the things, if you haven't or you have a friend who is not yet a Christian, you can have confidence in God's word. And you know what? You can say that I want to encourage you to read the Gospels. Read a chapter a day and ask God to open your eyes and show you who Jesus really is. And if they do that genuinely, they will come to faith. We can have confidence in that. What Jesus is actually implying when he asks this question. He is actually, if you take a step away from the gospel, he is saying the Holy Spirit has recorded enough about me in the first 8 chapters of Mark so that I can give you this now and put this question to you. You've seen enough. Make a decision. So we can have confidence in the Bible. May God help us to be those people and to truly follow Jesus. Amen.